I see dead people, spirits of the departed who, each for his own reason, will not move on from this world. Some are drawn to me for justice, if they were murdered, or for comfort, or for companionship. Others seek me out for motives that I cannot always understand. This complicates my life. I'm not asking for your sympathy. We all have our problems, and yours seem as important to you as mine seem to me. Perhaps you have a 90-minute commute every morning, on freeways clogged with traffic, your progress hampered by impatient and incompetent motorists, some of them angry specimens with middle fingers muscular from frequent use. Imagine, however, how much more stressful your morning might be if in the passenger seat was a young man with a ghastly axe wound in his head, and if in the back seat an elderly woman, strangled by her husband, sat pop-eyed and purple-faced. The dead don't talk. I don't know why. And an axe-chopped spirit will not bleed on your upholstery. Nevertheless, an entourage of the recently dead is disconcerting and generally not conducive to an upbeat mood. The visitor on the lawn was not an ordinary ghost, maybe not a ghost at all. In addition to the lingering spirits of the dead, I see one other kind of supernatural entity. I call them bodocks. They are ink black, fluid in shape, with no more substance than shadows. Soundless, as big as an average man, they frequently slink like cats low to the ground. The one on the abbey lawn moved upright, black and featureless, yet suggestive of something half-man, half-wolf, sleek, sinuous, and sinister. The grass was not disturbed by its passage. Had it been crossing water, it would not have left a single ripple in its wake. In the folklore of the British Isles, a bodock is a vile beast that slithers down chimneys at night and carries off children who misbehave, rather like inland revenue agents. What I see are neither bodocks nor tax collectors. They carry away neither misbehaving children nor adult miscreants. But I have seen them enter houses by chimneys, by keyholes, chinks in window frames, as protean as smoke, and I have no better name for them. Their infrequent appearance is often reason for alarm. These creatures seem to be spiritual vampires with knowledge of the future. They are drawn to places where violence or fiery catastrophe is destined to erupt, as if they feed on human suffering. Although he was a brave dog, with good reason to be brave, Boo shrank from the passing apparition, his black lips peeled back from his white fangs. The phantom paused, as if to taunt the dog. Bodock seemed to know that some animals can see them. I don't think they know that I can see them, too. If they did know, I believe that they would show me less mercy than mad mullahs show their victims when in a mood to behead and dismember. At the sight of this one, my first impulse was to shrink from the window and seek communion with the dust bunnies under my bed. My second impulse was to pee. Resisting both cowardice and the call of the bladder, I raced for my quarters into the hallway. The third floor of the guest house offers two small suites. The other currently had no occupant. On the second floor, the glowering Russian was no doubt scowling in his sleep. The solid construction of the abbey would not translate my footfalls into his dreams. The guest house has an enclosed spiral staircase, stone walls encircling granite steps. The treads alternate between black and white, making me think of harlequins and piano keys and of a treacly old song by Paul McCartney and Stevie Wonder. Although stone stairs are unforgiving and the black and white pattern can be disorienting, I plunged toward the ground floor, risking damage to the granite if I fell and struck it with my head. 16 months ago, I lost what was most precious to me and found my world in ruins. Nevertheless, I'm not usually reckless. I have less to live for than I once did, but my life still has purpose, and I struggle to find meaning in the days. Leaving the stairs in the condition that I found them, I hurried across the main parlor, where only a night lamp with a beaded shade relieved the gloom. I pushed through a heavy oak door with a stained glass window, and saw my breath plume before me in the winter night. The guest house cloister surrounds a courtyard with a reflecting pool and a white marble statue of St. Bartholomew. He is arguably the least known of the 12 apostles. Here depicted, a solemn St. Bartholomew stands with his right hand over his heart, left hand extended. In his upturned palm is what appears to be a pumpkin, but might be a related variety of squash. The symbolic meaning of the squash eludes me. At this time of year, the pool was drained, and no scent of wet limestone rose from it, as in warmer days. I detected instead the faintest smell of ozone, as after lightning in a spring rain, and wondered about it, but kept moving. I followed the colonnade to the door of the guesthouse receiving room, went inside, crossed that shadowy chamber, and returned to the December night through the front door of the abbey. Our white shepherd mix, Boo, standing on the driveway, as I had last seen him from my third floor window, turned his head to look at me as I descended the broad front steps. His stare was clear and blue, with none of the eerie eyeshine common to animals at night. Without benefit of stars or moon, most of the expansive yard receded into murk. If a bodach lurked out there, I could not see it. "Boo, where's it gone?" I whispered. He didn't answer. My life is strange, but not so strange that it includes talking canines. With wary purpose, however, the dog moved off the driveway onto the yard. He headed east, past the formidable abbey, which appears almost to have been carved from a single great mass of rock, so tight are the mortar joints between its stones. No wind ruffled the night, and darkness hung with folded wings. Seared brown by winter, the trampled grass crunched underfoot. Boo moved with far greater stealth than I could manage. Feeling watched, I looked up at the windows, but I didn't see anyone. No light other than the faint flicker of the candle in my quarters. No pale face peering through a dark pane.